Hi, I'm Alison. Welcome to Dream Chasers Adventures in Happiness, where my band of superhero guests and I share with you tales of daring do, life-changing journeys towards living our best lives. If you're after an injection of inspiration and ideas to live the life that you want and deserve, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Hi there, and welcome to the show where we serve up conversation, concepts, and belief that it is entirely possible to create what you crave. If there's something stopping you from pursuing happiness, whatever that looks like to you from a career or lifestyle point of view, the stories and insights covered here are designed to help. Today, I am joined by the amazing and highly inspirational Claire Francis. Claire is a professional writer and soon-to-be published author, who also happens to be my fabulous cousin. Now, Claire has been on a pretty incredible journey that she's going to share with us on the route to getting her first novel published. Despite her experience as a journalist and freelance feature writer for publications like BBC Country Farm magazine and Devon Life, and as a host blogger for the Huffington Post, the road to securing a publishing deal has been anything but easy. But what I've wholeheartedly admired in Claire throughout the past few years is her unrelenting tenacity in continuing to work at it, despite monumental hurdles and setbacks, and her steadfast belief that the universe has her back, which has really helped her trust her own instincts and make some quite massive decisions that others would have considered too risky. Now today, we're going to talk about Claire's experience, unpick how and why she didn't give up, and follow Claire's route to her first book deal with One More Chapter, who are an imprint at HarperCollins and who, in their own words, publish unputdownable fiction. So welcome to the show, Claire.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on. It's brilliant to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me, Alison. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's start with your history as a writer. So has writing always been something that you've been interested in? And how does it make you feel?
It is. I think it was before I knew it was, which sounds a bit Irish, but it was before I knew it was, because it was always in me. But it wasn't until I was older, in my 20s, that I really kind of started to recognise it. Okay. When I was younger, we used to go off for holidays to Cornwall, and I would sit in the back of mum and dad's car, and I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6. And I would be writing, I would make little stories and books out of paper, and they were tiny, they were inches big, with probably about 2 or 3 pages. So they were my books. Then I would write a story, and, you know, it would be something like The Dog Went for a Walk and Sat Under a Tree and It Saw the Moon, the end. And I would be so chuffed with it, and I would read it out to them, and they would say, oh, well done, that's lovely, and really praise me up. And looking back, at the time, I probably wouldn't have recognised this feeling as a 5-year-old, but it made me so happy. It just felt so pure inside. And fast forward to my 20s, what did I do? Let me think about this. I was always writing sort of, it's strange. It was almost like, it would just come out of me. I would just start writing a story. So I remember mum and dad had an old typewriter, and we had it in the dining room. And, you know, the typewriters, you can't delete anything. So I would just write and type a story and begin it. And I never finished them. That was the thing with me. It would be like, you know, on half a page of A4 paper. And then, but the feeling was always there. It would just give me such a buzz. It was like a, you know, the feeling of excitement when you get like a natural high. It's like, it feels, you're almost catching your breath. That's how it used to feel. And then again, when I left home and I was living, renting a room in a shared house, and I used to use, the landlord also lived there. He was actually a friend of mine, and I would use his computer and just started writing. And I was working in odd random jobs, and it just used to bring me a peace and happiness is the only kind of ways I can describe it.
Yeah.
And then I then decided to do a creative writing course with the Open University. I did, then went on to do a diploma in print journalism and radio. And again, that was all done sort of 1 or 2 days a week in the evenings. I would go off to college and do it. So I was a mature student, if you like. And then I got a job as a journalist, but I wasn't a qualified journalist, but I think based on kind of what I showed in my portfolio of my writing and interests, I got offered the job and I worked there for 2 years at the local paper. But I never really felt like that was my kind of writing. I enjoyed aspects of it, but it wasn't quite right for me. I knew it. But what I did love doing was the feature writing. So if a feature came up and I would write a feature, I really enjoyed the creative side of writing features. You could maybe show a bit more of your tone of voice with writing your own voice.
Yeah.
Whereas with journalism, you've got to stay neutral and you can't really have an opinion, not really. And so I left. I actually got signed off with Stress. I was going through quite a difficult time back then. And I got signed off with Stress. And I actually remember the editor at the time saying to me, "You'll never make a journalist." He was quite harsh. "You'll never make a journalist. You'll be good in PR. And I just thought, oh, that was, you know, I was just down anyway. And it just really hit me. And I didn't really want to be a journalist, but it just really got me. And I think I just never felt good enough in lots of areas of my life back then. And so then I looked into doing a master's with Falmouth University, but of course I had I didn't know at the time, but the diploma and the creative writing course all counted towards having A-levels. I left school after my GCSEs, and I think I did an admin course for 10 months and I left that. So I went through my life very much hopping around. I just didn't feel confident. I knew there was a passion in me, but I hadn't really figured it out back then. So then when I decided to apply for the master's, again, you know, I'd worked at the paper for 2 years. I had, you know, the creative writing course, and then I got accepted. And it was a 2-year master's over 2 years. And it was distance learning. So rather than usually it's 1 year full time on campus, I was able to work to pay for it. And I remember they offered a loan, you know, you could get loans to do it. It was like £4,500. And I remember thinking, so I was in quite a lot of debt at the time, I can't carry on like this. It would have been easy to accept the loan and not have to worry. But so I didn't. I cleaned people's houses. I worked in pubs. I did shift work. I did anything I could just to pay, you know, my rent as well, where I was living, and pay for the course and pay for my debts and study. And that was quite a turning point for me. It was.
Well, this is quite a passion.
Yeah.
So you've had like this passion for writing. And then you've had this tough experience being a journalist. And, you know, like you said, you ended up getting signed off. You've had somebody tell you you couldn't be a journalist but it didn't deter you. You still, having that inside passion for writing and creative writing, you still stayed zoned in on, okay, I'm going to do a master's. I'm going to try this. And even though, you know, and I'm not going to take the money and get myself into huge debt. I'm going to clean houses and do whatever it is I need to do in order to make this happen. So just before we even get to your story about getting published, there's real tenacity in that. From an outside point of view, what was it that kept you kind of going, even with the self-doubt, even with people telling you that you weren't going to make it as a particular, you know, I mean, you didn't want to be a journalist, but what was it that made you kind of go, I'm doing this anyway?
I think it was just, it's passion. It's a burning desire and a need to be true to myself, it was, it's hard to put it into words. It was, nothing was going to stop me because it was in me to follow my heart. So although I wasn't entirely sure, I mean, I knew probably then that I wanted to write books, but I'd never written a book. I just believed and knew that would happen. So at some point I was going to make it happen. Yeah. I've got this motto, make it happen. And you can make anything happen. If you really want something enough and it's really your calling, you make it happen. And yes, I do believe, which I will talk about, the universe, power of the universe and, you know, the strength of that. But I also believe you draw that to you, you make it happen as well. You're not just sat there, you know, not doing anything. So passion, I guess, and just a deep kind of like knowing that was my calling.
That was your calling.
Nobody can stop you, really.
No. I mean, I love that. I mean, there's a real, I think a lot of people struggle to feel that in themselves. And so, you know, to be able to use that as an anchor to keep you going, I think is quite something. So you did the master's, so you did it over 2 years. And when you finished that, were you very sure by then that sort of writing books, you know, rather than journalism, was your true forte.
Yes, absolutely. And I carried on writing that book. And that was actually when I met you. I was writing another, I think I had three books on the go. I had two fiction novels. One was like a children's adventure, Lord of the Rings type. One was a sort of adult women's fiction. And one was a non-fiction book, kind of a self-helpy kind of book. And I had interest from an American publisher. Well, I submitted, I was always looking at who I could submit to. I didn't know the process really you had to go through. And they actually would accept submissions without having an agent. And they did a market review and sent it off, and it didn't get to where they wanted it to be. And but anyway, you and I started talking about all of this, and you obviously really helped me because I remember you just saying, just pick one. Which one really lights you up? Which one really gives you that feeling? And just focus on that one. And they all kind of gave me that feeling, but the women's fiction novel was the one that I really thought, yes, I need to do this. And then again, I was working, and I worked around the writing, and I would write into the evenings and the mornings and before and after work. And I finished it. I remember thinking, I need to write 80,000 words. And I used to think, if I could just finish a book, I'll be so happy. Just to say, here it is. Yeah. I hadn't really thought past that. A bit like having a baby. I never thought past what that was going to be like. Oh, it'd be in the Moses basket, and I'll just get up once a night. You know? 7 years later, no sleep. But you don't know, do you, until you're doing something. But I finished it, and then I remember thinking, right, I'll print it out and now I need to edit it. So I had it here, and we'd moved to where we are now, and I started editing it, and I don't think I've ever cried so much. I just deleted page after page after page. I was just like, this is absolute rubbish. I was so embarrassed. I thought, this is crap, but I'm no good. This is rubbish. And I couldn't believe how bad it was. And I was just cross, 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 until I got to the last page, and it was 350 words or something like that, the opening of the book. So the last page is in working backwards. So it was the opening of the book, and I wasn't working backwards, so I don't know how I got to that, but I definitely got to the first page and just was like, this is the only bit I like. I'm not deleting this. So I kept that and started again, but turned it into another
book. So you removed, you wrote 80,000 words of a novel. You completed a novel.
Yes.
And then when you went back to edit it,
I deleted it all.
Deleted the entire book beyond 350 words, which we're laughing at now, but I know at the time was really kind of quite traumatic for you.
I cried all night. Yeah, I cried all night. And then I remember just going, a bit like, you know, what made me carry on? I remember just getting to a point where I was like, right, well, I'm going to carry on, so I just need to get on now and start again. It was like, right, crying over, work with this. And I knew I loved the opening. I really loved the opening. So I was like, I can work with this. We'll just change it around. So then I started writing and had my son. So then my son was born, and I think I put it down for 6 months. When he was 6 months old, I hadn't gone back to work. So I was a stay-at-home mum. So I was like, right, now I'm going to try and pick this up and write, finish this. So I would go up onto the moors, because he didn't really sleep much. So I would drive him around the moors, and he would sleep in the car. And I had my own little sort of writing spots on the moors, which, like, you know, I can't complain about. And I'd have a flask of tea, I'd buy a pasty from the shop, and I was well away. And then, you know, the rustling would wake him up, and I'd have to start the car and the engine. But I would just write furiously within that time I had. It might have been half an hour, it might have been 10 minutes, it might have been an hour. I think once I had an hour and a half, I was like, oh my God, an hour and a half in a whole day. This is amazing. And
this is quite something as well, right? Because it's like doing it. And I think a lot of the times when anybody's thinking about working on something that they're passionate about, whatever it might be,
you think you've got to have all the time.
You feel like you need these big blocks of time, that's what our minds tell us. And you, because of the, you know, you had your young son, that wasn't a possibility. So you literally did it in micro pieces.
I did.
Sort of half an hour and grabbed time, whatever you could do.
Yes. And that changed my whole outlook on things, because I'm a very impatient person and I like things to be done now. Quick, quick, quick. I want it now. And that taught me I had to slow down, as everything had to be done very painfully slowly. But it really taught me that actually when you have lots of time, well, for me anyway, when I had more time and I said, I just want to write a book, you know, it took me a long time to get that book finished, that first book, because I just had so much time. And even though I was working, it was different to how the time I didn't have with the children. No sleep and all of that, and, you know, surviving on an hour and a half sleep sometimes, it was really, really tough. But again, the love for what I wanted and the desire to have that, to live it, to live that, it sounds cheesy, but to live the dream. I wanted to feel all of it and have it. And I used to go for walks up on the moors and just look up at the universe and say, like on repeat, I want to be a best-selling author published around the world. And then I would add on, my book's being turned into films, just as the other one.
Why not want it all? Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah.
So you did this writing and yeah. then what happened with that? Where did it go?
So then I eventually, I actually then started it. So it didn't really go anywhere. I couldn't get past 35,000 words on that one. So I started it again. And then I had this, I wrote and wrote and wrote around. I had another daughter. And so she didn't sleep. So I had two under two and none of them slept. And I was a stay-at-home mum. So again, it was like double the heart. Everything was like harder. But I just knew, keep going. And actually, not only that, I loved it. So it wasn't like, oh God, I've got to find time to write. I was desperate because I loved it so much. So whereas some people might go back to work for that break or have, you know, other things going on, that was my break as well. It was a bit of me. So I eventually finished that book. And then I decided, you know, I hadn't finished that book, I tell a lie. I signed up to a Curtis Brown creative course. And that was a game changer as well, because I did three online courses. They were 6 weeks long. So I thought, that's doable around the kids. It was flexible learning. And I would just log on in the mornings, do a bit of the course and, you know, and it was wonderful because it's not that I was lonely, but I felt quite alone with writing. You know, I didn't really have anybody else that wrote that wanted to write books or, and then I met this wonderful group of writers there, and that was in 2019, and we're still really good friends. In fact, I met my best friend there. She lives in Scotland, and she's a writer as well, Claire Alexander. She wrote Married Up Alone, I've got to say it. She's fantastic. Yeah. We both started the course, met on the course, and so when the course finished, I submitted 3,000 words of this novel for feedback. From an author and a reader who was working on the course, and she gave me some wonderful feedback. And then I had this email out of the blue from Curtis Brown Creative saying that the reader had passed on that she loved it so much that she thought it was something special. And they said, you know, would I get in touch with them once I'd finished the book? And they would help me submit to some agents and just sort of guide me through it. And that was like, wow, you know, because, you know, the course was amazing and had some great advice and agents talking and everything. But that was like, oh my God, I've got an in here. So that was such an incentive. So then I was like, right, I've got to finish this book. So I was just writing into the early hours when I was, you know, not kids were sleeping, I would be writing. And anyway, I finished it. I sent it off and I ended up having an offer from an agent at Curtis Brown. And I was so happy and it was wonderful, you know,
by this point you think I've made it.
I thought, oh, I've got an agent, I'm going to get published. I just thought when you had an agent, you were going to be published. I didn't realise just that I was only at the tip, at the starting point of this journey, really.
Yeah.
So I stayed with the agent for 14 months and it just, you know, I think we just didn't work well together with regards to perhaps what she was looking for and how the book was going and how I wasn't comfortable with certain things. And I did a lot of rewriting. I would go back and rewrite the book. I rewrote it 4 times with the agent. I would be deleting 10, 20,000 words, rewriting it up till 3 a.m, passing it on to the agent. The agent would then say, oh, that's great, but actually you don't need this bit now. And I'd be like, oh, so I'd have to delete what I did. And then of course that affected. So it was just backwards forwards until I really ruined the book. I didn't really know what I was doing. We weren't the best team, I think, probably a writer agent, you know, no disrespect to her. She's really great. And she's probably a great agent, you know, but it's just that we didn't work well together really in that sense, I think. And the book got worse and worse until I realized we were going to have to part ways. We both realized that. And but the thing is, I had the option of staying. I was like, do I stay with her and hope that, you know, I can get a book deal? Well, then I even thought still, I'll get a book deal and then I can, you know, maybe leave when I'm a published author and have a bit of more of a platform and a chance of getting a new agent, because it's so hard to even get an agent. It really is. I mean, I said, oh, I got an agent, but I had loads of rejections as well. And really, I remember just being here in the front room and I just, it was late at night, everybody was asleep. And I just said, I'm leaving. I'm trusting you. And you was the universe. I said, I'm giving this to you. I deserve to feel what I what I know I can have. And my friend, the writer, she had gone on to have this wonderful agent and also a fantastic book deal. And so she was like, woo. And I was like, oh my God, I'm still writing this book and rewriting it. So I wanted, not what she had, because everybody's journey is different, but I just wanted to, felt I deserved to have that excitement, you know,
wanted
not
to
this,
feel good about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I didn't want this like, oh, hopefully it. I'll get a book deal and then I can just plod along and hopefully make it. And I thought, no, how
so you made the really tough decision.
Yeah.
So the easy choice would have been to just sort of suck it up, just try and push through, even though you weren't happy
yes.
where the book was at.
It's like being in an unhealthy relationship and staying in it because it's yeah. easier. Yeah.
But you didn't do that.
No.
So you said, okay. So what happened when you left that agent?
I left. I submitted to 4 more agents, I think it was. And I had a phone call while I was on the moors with my daughter from the same agency my friend is with, actually. And she was reading my book on the train. She hadn't even finished reading what I sent her. And she loved it so much. And she's like, I've got something special here I'd like to offer you. Representation. And I was just like, oh my God, yes. I was so happy. I was like, right, this is it. We rewrote the book again. So that was the 5th time. You know, she sort of pinpointed where it needed work. I was quite happy to do the work. That wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
We rewrote it 8 months in. It was nearly ready to go on submission, which means they then send it out to X amount of publishers to try and get a book deal. So I was like, I'm near there on submission. And then unfortunately she had to leave the agency and she wasn't sure at the time where she was going to go or if she wanted to stay in agenting. She has now stayed in agenting again. Fantastic agent, lovely, lovely agent, great person. And she did say, you know, would you stay with me? But the thing is, because at the time she didn't know what she was going to be doing, I think she wanted to stay in agenting, but she couldn't give me where she was going. And I owed it to myself and the book and everything to not, but I also really wanted to stay with Mushins Entertainment, who I'm with, because they're just fantastic. They're just like the best. And I knew that. So it was very hard to say no, very hard. I felt very bad about it.
But again, you made another test.
Made another test. Yeah, not knowing, because there's no, they don't have to take me on, you know, again. No. I'm contracted with her, you know, she was leaving. So
yeah.
I submitted it again and I had an offer. I couldn't believe it, with the agent I'm with now. So that's 3 agents. And and Rachel, she's just been amazing. And she said, right, a partial rewrite. So I was like, right, only got to do 40,000 words. So I was like, woo. So that was like, you know, so I rewrote half of it. And then we went out on submission and I was again like, yes, I'm going to get a book deal. And I'm like that anyway. I always think, believe it. You've got to believe it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point? And it went out and I had amazing feedbacks from some, you know, the big 5 publishers. They loved it. They loved this. But unfortunately, you know, they didn't quite love this bit or they weren't quite sure on this. And they were wonderful. They gave some lovely feedback. I was so chuffed with what they said about me. It was so flattering about writing, but it wasn't right for them. So I could just keep seeing these rejections. And I knew it had gone out to like 23 publishers. And I could just see, I was crossing them off each one. And then nothing. And I didn't get a book deal. And I remember crying
after all the agents.
Years, really, as well.
Millions of rewrites and yeah. years over this book. It's finally gone out. And it's resulted in no
nothing. No one's ever going to read it, apart from my sister. She said, I'll read it. And I sent it to her. But then I was like, don't read it. It's crap. Because then I started reading it. I was like, this is rubbish. Because that's what you do. You read it. And you're like, this is rubbish. But not all the time. But anyway, so she's got it still. Hopefully she won't read it. But then I said, okay. And Rachel said, right, let's start it again. Have you got any other ideas? I gave her this idea and it was in the same genre at the time with psychological suspense. So I started writing this new book and I got 17,000 words in. I remember just sitting there just going, God, like, it was really bringing me down. It was like, oh, this is depressing. This is like, just, I didn't know where to go with it. I emailed her, Rachel, and I said, I don't know if I can write any more of this. And she was brilliant. She just said, don't be afraid to start again. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, actually.
I can do this.
Again,
with an agent who's gone through a whole thing.
Yeah.
Encouraging you.
That's where she was wonderful. And that's where what I didn't have before. It was like, let's part ways. But it was like, actually, she just had my back. And I just felt like she trusted me. And it was wonderful. I was like, she trusts me. And I trust me. And I trust her. So it was like, okay, I'll start again. And I said, you know what? I did have an idea for this book. And I told her the idea for a book with a woman in Ireland with OCD, and she's sort of trapped in her village and she can't get out, and she just lives with the chronic OCD, and it's a funny book, but it's highlighting a really serious issue, and she goes on this amazing adventure, and it's kind of a love story, but it's not. It's a love story with herself as well, and she finds, you know, everything, the reasons behind everything, and kind of, and she said, oh, you know, do you, that's amazing, you know, I have to ask you, you publishers, they generally like it when the author is authentic, so you know, if someone writes a book about autism but they don't have autism, it's, you can tell, you know. She said, do you know, have any experience of OCD? And I was like, oh god, now's the time to tell her. I was like, well, actually I do, I have years of it. So I told her about all of this stuff, and she said, go for it. So I did, and I wrote it in 4 months, and it went on.
Wow.
And I had like one edit or something with her, we bounced back and forwards, not one edit, but it was very quick, and it went on submission in September, and in October, on my son's birthday, I had an offer. I had amazing feedback again. It got out quite a lot with some of the biggies, the big fives, they call them. And then I had, she contacted me that HarperCollins had one more chapter, the imprint of HarperCollins, loved it. And they were taking it forward to acquisitions and meetings. And so it's really hard to get a book deal. I never realized this. So what happens is it goes out to publishers, and the editor who they send it to at the publishing house, they might love it. Then they take it to the rest of the team, all the marketing team, everybody in within the umbrella of the publisher reads it. And if one of them says, oh, I don't know how I'm going to market this, I don't know, no, this is the wrong genre, and yeah, this might not work, blah, 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 then they can't move forward with it. They all have to love it.
Wow.
So it's really, really hard. You can get so far, then they take it to like acquisitions meetings, and everybody has to be on board the whole way through. And that's why I found out, my friend Claire said, that we're within the less than 2% in the world that actually get published. So I was like, oh my God. So when they made the offer, they sent me the most wonderful pitch. It was just incredible. And they'd all read it, and they sent these little like captions of what they thought of the book. And I was crying and crying. We were in the car on the way back to my son's birthday. And I was, honestly, it was like to hear people be as passionate about this book as I was, and about the main character, and get it completely, and not be like, well, yeah, but this. And they were so honest about it, and it was wonderful. Like, I can't tell you the feeling. It was like, yes, there it is, like the fireworks of all that the feelings I had. It was like the firework feeling.
It was what you were hoping for.
What I wanted to have, and I got it. And then that was October, and I've had to kind of keep it quiet, and they let me sort of announce it a little bit on my social media, which was nice because they don't usually do that, because the official announcement is coming out very soon. And then I've just been working on the edits with it, and we're at copy edit stage, which is like the end stages. It's going to come out next year, and that's the journey, I think. There's probably lots more.
Wow. I mean, that is talk about a tumultuous backwards and forwards, up and down. You know, and I know now, not only have they one more chapter. You've got a Dutch publisher.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot to say that.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah, so they send it out to them when you get a UK book deal. So one more chapter, they've bought World English rights, so they're going to publish it in the UK, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, Canada and America. And they said they hope to make it a lead title in America. So I hope that stayed there. It was reconnecting then. And then my agent will then, because they've bought the rights for those countries, they can't send the book out to America for an American deal. So they sent it out to some publishers in and around the world, in Europe and as well, that had shown interest when it went to the Frankfurt Book Festival, and they pitch it. So then I had an email from the Foreign Rights Department at Mussions Entertainment to tell me that a Dutch publisher had made an offer on it and had bought world rights to sell it around the world in Dutch. So that was amazing. So I was like, oh my God, so now I'm going to get two copies of that translated, so I'll have them. Then I had an standard with the agency, you get a film and TV and film agent when you get a book deal. But I had a wonderful email from Rachel, with forwarded email from my TV and film agent, that she read Pearl. I didn't realize they actually send the book, and she chose me. Like, it was like she wanted to work with on the book, and she's sending it out to TV studios and production companies. And she's recently, Richard Osman's agent as well, TV and TV and film agent. And she's recently with Steven Spielberg's production. He's going to do a thing. It's all out now, so I can say it. So she's going to be sending it off to like Steven Spielberg's, but she might not, but she'll send it out to Netflix and everywhere. And, you know, if there's real serious interest, then I'll hear about that. But that, yeah. I mean, that can take, I know now, but that can take years. So, for example, like War Horse, he wrote that, you know, years ago, and then it came out like 20 years later or something, you know, as a film. So it can take a long time for that. But you know what? That was my end request to the universe, all those walks. So
yeah, I was going to say, it's like full circle. Yeah. You said, oh, that's TV and film.
Yeah, I've already got him playing the characters. I'll just be Gerald Butler all the way. But he's too old. No, not. Oh, the other thing was, just before I forget, when I was just, sorry, it is okay to go back to when you said about inspiration and just my inspiration for when I first started realizing I wanted this. I remember reading, I had P.S. I Love You by Cecilia Athan, the Irish author, and she I was reading the blurb about her biography in the book cover sleeve, and I just remember reading it thinking, oh, I would love that. And HarperCollins were her publisher, and I just remember thinking, oh my God, that would be my dream. Like, she's my inspiration. Just, I just love her journey, and J.K. Rowling as well, just because she has some tough times. But, you know, I just always thought I'd love that. HarperCollins would be my dream publisher. So when they got in touch, they actually compared it to P.S. I Love You, not the storyline, but the character's adventures, you know, her adventures and what she did.
Wow.
And they compared it to that. And so they are actually, I think, going to ask her to read it. She might not. And to give, like, you know, they give like a little blurb. They give like a little, like, one-liner. This is amazing.
Testimonial.
So yeah. I think, actually, I tagged her in my Instagram because I've had to set up Instagram since all this. I didn't really do social media, but I have with Instagram. And I tagged her in a video that I made about that. And she commented on it. And I was just like, so hopefully she'll read it. Yeah.
But, you know, so I just think what's really important here, and I think for anybody listening, is that you started in a place where you were told you shouldn't be writing, really.
Cleaning toilets.
cleaning toilets. I mean, you know, and you've been through the mill up and down and up and down, but you held this internal belief that this is your passion, it's your calling, it's where you're heading. And you just kept going. You didn't let whatever got in the way.
Yeah.
You've had many things get in the way. You didn't let it stop you from trying to, you know, and you know, slowly but surely you're hitting the goals that, you know, and with bells on set.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's such a, you know, tenacity is such an amazing thing. And I think if anybody is really passionate about something, whatever it is, whether it's a personal project or something to, related to what you might do for work, just keep going. And you're a prime example. Your story is an absolute prime example of what can happen when you just believe and you don't give up, and you just keep your eyes on the prize, on the direction you're heading in.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, Claire, it's been so fabulous having you on the show.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for sharing your personal inspiration.
It's lovely to talk about it, you know.
For anyone interested in buying your new book, I know the working title is currently Someone Like Pearl.
Yes.
I will put a link in the show notes when the book's available for pre-order, which will be later this year. But in the meantime, if people would like to connect with you, how can they find you?
So I've got Twitter, and that's at CF for Frances, as the author. And I have Instagram, and that is at Claire Frances Books. And you can find me there doing weird and wonderful things.
I will put those links into. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode.
Oh, thanks, Alison.
Honestly, and for listeners, you know, thanks so much for joining us, you know, and if you're working on a passion project and it hasn't been an easy road, I really hope Claire's story has kind of inspired you to keep going, because if it's in your heart, don't give up on it. And if you know anyone who would benefit from listening to this conversation and Claire's amazing story, please do share this episode. And until next time, just know that I believe in you and your ability to create the life and the career that you really want. So go do your thing.
Thank you for listening today. I hope our time together has got you thinking about your own adventure in happiness. So please do get in touch. I'd love to hear more about your story. And why not join our Dream Chasers Unite community? There is nothing better than an adventure shared. Until next time, be brave and go create what you crave.